you know, some of the big things I've learned, you know, over the last few years, right, by these value add deals, it takes time, right? It's, yeah. You know, you go in and it's like, maybe it's 90% occupied. For some reason, there's always people that leave the day you take over, right? So there's always that like downhill, like you're a little bit on a downward slope initially until you start turning it around and going uphill. Sure. Yeah. That patience.
Welcome to the Threefold Real Estate Investing Podcast. This is the podcast where you'll not only learn how you can achieve massive success in multifamily real estate investing, but also how you can simultaneously pursue great relationships with your family and a better walk with God. You can achieve financial freedom through real estate investing without sacrificing the relationships that mean the most to you. Now, here's your host, Lee Yoder.
Welcome back, Threefold listeners. I hope you're having a great week this week. We've got another great guest for you today. Jens Nielsen is joining us. Jens is the founder and principal of Open Doors Capital. He oversees the company's acquisition analyst, business development, and also the asset management, which we're going to get into today big time. I'm really excited for that. He directs Open Doors Capital's overall investment strategy, brings to the company over 25 years of experience in computer system management and organizational leadership, because before real estate, Jens was in leadership and technical roles in telecommunications and IT companies around the world. Throughout his career, he specialized in system implementation, optimization, and management. Also, he graduated cum laude from the University of Maryland with a master's of science degree. So, but then jumped into real estate. But Jens, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really excited to have you today.
Likewise, Lee. I'm excited about our conversation.
I really want to cover the topic of asset management today, Jens. It's so important. I harp on it all the time. I really spent kind of the second half of 2022 really trying to focus on that in our business. How did you get into real estate? How did you go from IT to being in real estate now full time?
Yeah, good question. So I'm in my early 50s, and about 6-7 years ago, I was like, wow, I could see the path of having to stay in a W-2 job in the IT field for another 20-25 years. I was like, wow. That's that. I didn't like that because, it's, technology changes so quickly. I would have to learn a bunch of new technologies. So I was like, man, I don't really want to start over and learn all this new stuff and, competing with all these young kids coming up. So I was like, man, I need to change. And I just kind of stumbled on real estate, picked up, as you remembered clearly, I picked up the How to Invest in Real Estate, Rental Real Estate by Brandon Turner. And perfect. I was like, wow, this is the path, right? And started out very small, buying some fourplexes in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and has then over the last, 6+ years scaled into syndications and doing this full time. I left my job like 2 years ago. So,
congratulations. That's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
What I was thinking, Ian, is like, you talk about technology and how quickly it changes, and that's so true. And you're like, well, I don't want to, keep learning new things. Well, you did have to go and learn a new thing with learning real estate, but real estate does not really change that much. Right. So, you're learning at one time. Sure. You're learning one new thing, but then it's going to pretty much stay the same for the rest of the time that you're doing it. Right. Versus, technology, man, every year or two, it's just so rapid these days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's your portfolio look like now today, Jens? What is your asset?
So we had over 2000 units. We have now sold, I think we sold 4 deals last year. So we're down to, 1500. We own anywhere from, the smallest one I own, just me and my wife, is 11 unit, up to the largest portfolio that's 187 units, right?
Wow,
so it
goes
from JV,
Are you spread out all over the country or?
Albuquerque, New Mexico, because I live in New Mexico. Some stuff in Oklahoma, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And just because of where my partners happen to be, where deals presented themselves, that seemed to be kind of that Midwest, upper Midwest.
All right. Well, yeah, that's going to be really interesting, because not only asset management and managing the properties that you own in New Mexico, where you're located, where you can drive to them, but also up to Oklahoma, all the way up to Ohio and Pennsylvania. So let's jump into that. So just high level, Jens, when you think of asset management, what does that mean to you?
It's really just managing the business plan, right? When we put a deal together, we come up with some underwriting and a plan that we then share with our investors. Yep. So the day the deal closes, everybody you know, kind of shaking hands and are happy, and they realize, well, that's when the hard work starts.
Oh,
so it's actually
sure.
implementing that, right? That's really what I look at what asset management is. Project management, managing the property manager, managing the general
yes.
contractor and all that stuff.
Yep. What are maybe some of the differences, Jens, or do you not see it that differently when you're managing a property as an asset manager in New Mexico versus Ohio?
If you know, when I'm managing my own deals, I don't have anybody else to answer to, right? So I can kind of just make the decisions in what serves me the best and how much effort I want to put into it, right? So, you know, some of these deals I bought early on, I was like, I don't really care if it takes a few years to stabilize them and these things, right? Whereas when we do stuff for, you know, syndications, I mean, we have made some projections that we are trying to meet, right? So there's a certain business plan that we try to implement. So, and, you know, there's a lot more money involved. There's other people's money.
Sure.
So there's a whole other level of accountability there, right?
One thing you mentioned that I think is so critical, I'd love for you to dig in a little bit, is managing the manager. You know, a big part. And I love the way you set it up too, Jens. I was going to say that. It's really implementing the business plan and carrying out the business plan. It's so well said. You've got to buy right. You've got to finance right. Sure, like you said. And that's really difficult to do. So there's a, you know, we're shaking hands at the closing table for good reason, because it's really hard to take something down. But then you're right. It's like, all we did was buy ourselves a business. Now, what it's done for the past 5, 15, 30 years does not matter. What matters is what it does for the next 3 to 5 years, right? And that's up to us. But it's really a lot of it's up to the property manager. So you've really got to manage that manager. So digging into that a little bit for me, Jens, what are maybe some of the most important things to think of with that? And then, like, how do you carry that out? What are some of maybe your practices to make sure you're doing a good job managing the manager?
We try to always share our projections with the property manager. Ideally, nice. Even before we close the deal, as we're on the contract, we negotiate and talk with property management companies, and we say, okay, this is our business plan. Do you agree? Do you think it makes sense, right? So we're not operating in a vacuum, and it's unrealistic. So always have that partner. The property manager as a partner.
Right.
And then basically say, hey, this is the plan. Do you guys agree? And if they do, it's like, okay, how are we going to implement it? So really stay on top. Let's say we have a value add deal. We need to turn a bunch of units. How are we going to manage it? What's the schedule of getting people out of the, you know, and turning the units? So basically help them implement the business plan that you have shared with them. I think that's really important. And, you know, talk to them every week, especially if you're in the stabilization period. Talk to them every single week, right? Hold them accountable to, you know, showings and leasing and collections and turns if they're managing their turns, right? And I really, you know, if somebody, I don't see behind me the EOS, the EOS book.
Yeah.
I really believe in dashboards, you know. So hold them accountable. What is our collections this week? What is our delinquencies? What is our occupancy? Basically hold people accountable to a dashboard or to a set of metrics that you can measure versus things are going well. It's like, what does that mean? Right?
Yes. No, that's really good. And so do you have a weekly call with them, Jens? Is that kind of your typical pattern?
Definitely in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
If we're stabilizing
the property, like you said, during the stabilization period. Yeah.
Yeah. If things are running well and it's like, you know, you're at high occupancy, there's nothing made. I mean, let's not waste people's time either, right?
Sure.
And,
yep.
You know, I mean, for my own stuff that I've owned for years, I literally spend like an hour every month looking at them, right? So that's super easy.
They're stabilized. Property manager's doing a good job. Well, and like you said, I mean, if you have that dashboard and they're meeting their goals, and it's just, okay, meeting the goals. Looks good. You know, let's keep it up.
Yeah.
Maybe just, could you share a couple of the metrics? What are some things that, you know, if we're managing our manager, what are a couple of the things we can pull out that you would have on that dashboard to say, hey, vacancy, you know, what are a few of those things that are really important?
Yeah, excellent question. We like to look at like leading and lagging measures, right? So leading measures are stuff like, we always look at, hey, what's our collections and what's our delinquency, or even just our delinquency, right? Do we have, you know, it's 2 days into the month, I understand. If it's 15 days into the month, if we have a lot of delinquencies, we need to, you know, make sure those people have been served the notice and the eviction process is happening if that's the case, right? So definitely look at that so we don't end up having all these receivables that we're not collecting on. Then we tend to look a lot at if we are still like in that lease up period, we look at leads, where the leads are coming from.
Okay.
We look at, you know, showings, we look at applications, and we look at new leases, right? there's a funnel, you know, maybe there's 100 leads to 50 showing to 20 applications or 10 leases or whatever that is, right? You know, and especially because, I mean, advertising is really expensive, and especially in competitive markets, you know, so you're getting leads from apartments.com or Zillow or wherever.
Yep.
Make sure you get them from the right places and you're spending your ad dollars in the right spot. So that would be another leading message. And like, you know, we also tend to look at like service calls. If we get, you know, a lot of service calls, a lot of service requests, what's going on, right? Why do we keep having, if we keep going and fixing the same thing, then we probably have a problem we need to address at a deeper level, right?
Right.
So those are some of the key ones, right? Especially, and then if we're in a renovation process, we're like, how many units have returned this month? How many
units that's are
in the middle
piece.
Of being worked on and so forth, right? So that's all kind of leading measures. Then we have a bunch of lagging measures, which is more looking at the P&L.
It's all about keeping your property occupied, right? And not just physical occupancy. That's why I love that you brought up delinquency, is because it's really economic occupancy. So you can be 96% occupied and feel great, and you got a bunch of delinquency, and maybe you're not going to get that back, and you're evicting these people, and actually only 90% of the people paid. That's very different. So staying on top of that with your property manager, so important. I mean, I know I've, you know, made the mistake in the past of not doing that. And we do evict somebody and it's like, oh, good. Okay. They weren't paying. So we got them evicted. You know, that's what happened, but they owe us $4,500. We took way too long to evict them. Right. I mean, that was, no, you can't. I mean that, you know, in some of our examples, that's 5 months of not paying rent, you know, here in Ohio, that should not happen. You know, out in California, it's standard operating procedure, but here in Ohio, that should not happen. We didn't stay on top of that. So really good stuff there to stay on top of that. Okay. So that's leading. That's telling you, I love that, because that's telling you how the property is going to be doing in the next month. And we think that way too. Like, hey, it's great that we're 95% occupied, but we've got three people moving at the end of the month. And, you know, with these couple of vacancies that we have, we're not seeing a lot of leads coming in. So I'm not feeling good that we've got three more people leaving, right? So that's why it's leading. You're thinking about what's coming in the future. But once you get it, once the property manager collects everything and you know, and you're looking at last month, okay, how did we do last month? So that's more of a lagging indicator, right? What are some of those, Jens, that you're looking into to see?
Yes.
How did we do last month? How are we doing?
Yeah, so that's really the financials, right? The mm-hmm. the profit and loss statement that you should get from your property manager in some sort of form, right?
Right.
And we tend to look at stuff that's variable expenses, which could be, you know, again, your repairs and maintenance. Maybe you should have a clue if you've had 50 work orders last month that you are repairs and maintenance may be high, right? Also your turn or your rehab cost, keeping really good track on that and manage that against your the budget you had, right?
I mean, yes,
because we have sometimes, you know, we have certain amount of dollars for CapEx, we spend that money. It's like, wow, now it all has to come out of cash flow. What is that going to mean?
Oh,
for
yeah, bottom line, that'll right? hurt. Yeah.
So those things, right? And then, you know, we tend to look at, you know, it being, you know, in Ohio, we know how expensive gas and stuff like that is in the wintertime, right? So we like, how is our fluctuations of our utility bills? Because we have boiler systems that burns a lot of gas, right? So how are some of those utility bills going up and down? Are there ways to implement savings and other things? So that's more of like kind of the analysis of the P&L. Is there places for savings, right?
Yeah.
You know, so those things, I mean, a lot of it stays the same. Taxes, insurance, payroll tends to stay fairly steady, but all these variable ones, you know, don't be afraid of going back and asking the property manager and said, okay, why did we spend all this money last month on A, B, and C, right? It's I just don't like to get that surprise, because it's usually 2 or 3 weeks or a month, you know, after the end of the previous month that you get this. That time is like a little late to make changes, right? At least.
Yeah, it is. Right. That's why it's lagging. Like it already happened, right? It's too late. But I think that's really good. The maintenance and the unit turns in one way kind of go in the same vein for me, because you're right. If you're not managing them, if you're not asking, I love what you said, you know, don't be afraid to ask about this. You have to, because there's certain things, Jens, don't you think, that like, it's easier for the property manager to just go with the contractor who's available, or the contractor that they know, or the contractor's right there. They may not be the cheapest and they might be the most expensive. So if you're not staying on top of that, and a lot of times it's not like even just having a specific number and knowing every number, like, oh, you guys spent $1,000 on a water heater, that should only be $800. Most of the time, I think from our experience, like, it's just asking about it. If they know that you're paying attention, if they know you're looking at it and you're going, hey, you know, maintenance, this is high this month, what's going on? that alone is like, man, they're looking at it. They're on top of it. I got to be careful. And then just, and a lot of times too, for us, you know, especially with the unit turns, because a unit turn can cost 10 grand. It can cost 15 grand. It can cost 20 grand. You want multiple quotes. And again, it's still up to your property manager, but if you force them to do the work of getting a good price and looking at multiple people instead of just kind of going with what's easy, because you can see why they do that. There's nothing nefarious about it. It's just, that's what makes their job easier. They're trying to run the property efficiently, effectively. And if they've got some contractors they know are good and are going to show up, hey, there's a benefit there. But, you know, on our end, Jens, right, like we're controlling costs. So we got to think about that. And so, yeah, I think that's great that looking back at that and having those conversations and staying on top of them, it's going to keep your costs down at least a little bit from what you can control. Yeah. You're going to keep your costs down if you do those things.
Yeah. And if I can add something to that. So for example, you know, in Cleveland, Ohio, we own 500-600 units there. And we were looking at some turn costs that were pretty high last fall. I was like, why are we outsourcing this? We have enough units. We need to hire another maintenance person that can do all this work, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, because we were a little bit overwhelmed and it was like, oh, if we can get somebody to come in and do it. And saying, whoa, yep, that's costing way too much money. If we hire this person, there's enough turns throughout the year that person can be fully, can do this work. And then suddenly it's a much more controllable cost than,
yes,
you know, getting Joe contractor in to do the work.
Yeah, right. Oh, great point. Yeah. And that's where cost can run away from you. And what you'd said earlier, Jens, if you do spend way too much, and again, you said, hey, you've got to be looking at it against your budget, because you get way beyond and you get past your budget, you'll soon find yourself in a spot, it's just what you said, you've got to do it out of cash flow. And that can be so dangerous. I mean, if you've got the cash flow for it, okay, but that is very dangerous, because what happens is, you know, you have this extra cash flow and you think, well, we'll spend that, but then two people move out. Now we've got two units that we've got to turn. And I think where people can really get in trouble is, we don't have the money for those two unit turns, so we're going to let them sit vacant. Man, you're really asking for it. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're behind the eight ball. Whereas when you have the money for it, that CapEx budget goes vacant. Boom, get somebody in there. Let's get it turned. Let's get it turned. And we're getting it rented again. And typically, we're getting these big rent bumps. That's where you're moving in the right direction. You can quickly move in the wrong direction when you run out of money for those unit turns. And if you're not paying attention to it, not controlling the cost, that's when you can run out of the CapEx money, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and especially, I mean, case in point, right? Underwriting deals a year and a half ago to the cost a year and a half ago compared to what they are now.
Right.
Some of those challenges are definitely real, right? When we had said, oh, it's going to be 10, 12 grand for a turn, it's 15. It's like, what do we do now, right?
Yep.
So there's definitely some of those challenges that we are experiencing too.
We have definitely experienced that ourselves. Yeah. Yeah. Both of us in Ohio, so we've seen that. But it's all over the country. So maybe, can you think of a mistake that you've made, Jens, when it comes to asset management? Maybe something early on that you were, you know, missing, or, you know, what have you added to your tool belt? What early on, what kind of mistakes were you making that are my listeners can learn from?
I think the biggest one has probably been, you know, especially with deciding on distributions, right? So we look at the P&L, it's like, yeah, it looks good. We could distribute. It's like, oh, wait, well, we maybe forgot that, you know, and the P&L may not show how much reserves we're putting aside, how much principal we're paying. So while that's, you know, while that's money that is kind of yours, it still goes out of your bank account, right? So you're like, oh, it looks good, you know, NOI was good, but it's like, oh, there's all these other things that we're not really paying attention to. So we've been guilty of over-distributing a little bit early on. It's like, oh crap, now we're a little bit in a tight spot here, right? So I have to slow down distribution to hold it back, right? So.
Yep. Yeah, it's such a good point. To break it down a little bit, and Jens, correct me if I'm wrong, but let's say you're bringing in 100 grand in rent per year, and your expenses are 50 grand. You might want to jump to the conclusion and say, cool, we got 50 grand. And so if we want to send out a distribution, which is 20 grand to our investors in order to get them, you know, their 8% preferred return or whatever it is, 6% preferred return. Yeah, we've got that. That's easy because we got 50 grand here. But like you said, wait, we haven't taken out reserves yet. Okay, let's take 5,000 out, you know, down to 45. We got to pay our loan. That's not it. That's not a part of the expenses. That's below the line, right? Our loan might be $30,000. Okay, now we're down to 15, right? So shoot, now we don't have that 20,000 that we thought we had to send out, right? We've got 15. So really good point. And those reserves are so key. I've definitely made that mistake too, where, you know, you feel good about, I don't know, $50,000 sitting in your account or something. This would have been on, you know, some smaller properties, but you feel good about that. So you don't feel like you need to add to it, or maybe you feel like, you know, if we put an extra $500, you know, per month, or an extra $1,000 per month, that's good. And man, it can go so fast. So if you're preparing for anything, you need to put away a lot of reserves. So yeah, it's a really good point, Jens. And I was just thinking as you were talking, that's a huge part of what asset management is. That's asset management from a very high level, is managing where's the money going, where can we send it out, what are we paying for, you know, how much do we need to hold back. It's really a high level view, and that's what an asset manager has to be able to do. Any more on that, Jens? Just like kind of from a high level, being that asset manager that's got the vision, that's got the plan, and making sure, you know, we're pulling all the right strings, doing the right things.
I think another key thing that we do is like, you know, adjusting our budget every year, right? So, you know, we come up with an underwriting budget and we try to follow it the first year, and it's always wrong. It's either better or worse. But yep. Then after that, actually really an understanding how the business operates or the property operates, let's come up with a realistic budget for the following year, right? We spend some time on that. But tends to, it's like, oh yeah, this is probably what real, you know, better or worse, but that's where it's at, right? So I think just having that conversation and communicating that with your partners and the property manager and all that stuff, I think spend a lot of time on that as well.
Yes. Yeah. Communicate with the property manager. Again, that's your partner. I love how you said that. They're your partner, but they have to know what you're looking for, what the plan is. And yeah, year to year, that can change. I mean, depending on what happened in 2022, you might have less money coming into 2023. Okay. We got to scale back. We got to pull back. Maybe don't be as aggressive on getting people out. Maybe we thought, let's get real aggressive and do $50 rent bumps, but then more people are going to leave. So maybe let's just do 25 because we're not ready. We don't have the CapEx reserves to do as many unit turns this year. So let's keep some more people. Or we're not so sure about the economy. We're not so sure we'll be able to fill those units if we get all these people out. So let's scale back. Maybe not be so aggressive. But the property manager doesn't know that unless you redo your budget for 2023 and have that conversation with them. Hey, 3Fold listeners, just want to take a quick break from the show to introduce you to our sponsor, Pure Property Solutions. They specialize in CapEx projects for multifamily and commercial properties in the tri-state area. They handle painting, carpentry, roofing, windows, and more. The Pure Property Solutions team prides itself on quality work for a fair price with excellent customer service. They are adept at keeping a good relationship with residents at the job site and are always willing to work toward a creative solution while keeping finances in mind. I can speak to this firsthand. We've worked with Pure Property Solutions on a big project we had that they put in all new windows for us, all new decks, did some roof work for us, and we just had a great experience. They deliver a quality product. They have good craftsmanship, good communication. And to be honest with you, like, not everything went perfectly, but when things didn't go perfectly, they returned our call, they fixed it, they got out. They heard us and they made it right. And that's what you want. Check them out. If you've got a big CapEx project in the tri-state area, check out Pure Property Solution. The link will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. Well, Jens, as we wrap it up here, this has been really good. I was telling you before the show, like, asset management is so important to me. I think, and I think I said this, but you've got to buy right. You've got to finance right. And once you do that, you've got to operate the property right. Because even if you bought right and financed right, you can run it downhill from there. And even if maybe you overpaid, if you operate that thing really well, you're going to be just fine because you're going to be able to hold on. And every, you know, I think one great saying is you can almost never lose money in real estate unless you're forced to sell. And if you operate well, you'll never be forced to sell. You'll operate it well and you'll sell when you want to sell, and you'll sell for top dollar because you're operating really well. So really good stuff. I always like to wrap up by asking, what do you think is the key ingredient for being a successful real estate investor?
Patience.
Oh yeah, good one. That's the hardest one. Why would you say that?
No, I think it's just, you know, some of the big things I've learned, you know, over the last few years, right? Buy these value add deals. It takes time, right? It's you know, you go in and it's like maybe it's 90% occupied. For some reason, there's always people that leave the day you take over, right? So there's always that like downhill. You're a little bit on a downward slope initially until you start turning around and going uphill. Sure. So that patience, right? So real estate, you know, it can make you rich in the short term. It can make you incredibly wealthy in the long run. Just having the pace and understand is the best place to have your money. So that's I think, is the best one.
And I think that's so prevalent today, Jens, because people that got into real estate maybe 2 years ago probably got a false sense of how quickly you can, you know, sell your property for double the amount you bought it for. Because, you know, and I bought a couple, well, gosh, it's been 3.5 years ago almost now, but we doubled in like a year and a half. It was ridiculous, but it's not normal. That is not normal. I think we're going into more normal times now. So yeah, it's so important. Preach patience. You've got to have patience. Jens, flipping that question a little bit. What does it take? And maybe what are some things that you do, but what is that key ingredient for having success outside of real estate with your family, with your faith, if that's important to you, you know, those type of things, you know, maybe the things that are a lot more important than real estate, but having success there while pursuing success in real estate investing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a hugely important thing to me, why I wanted to embark on this new path, because I'm from Denmark originally, hence the accent and the name. Yeah, and, cool. You know, I've lived here in the US for 26 years now, coming up in 27, but I never really, you know, all these years, you know, go over there for a week at a time and just, you know, try to reconnect with my family. And I just didn't feel like, well, everybody's getting older. I don't know how long everybody's around. So I was like, man, I want to get to a point where I can go over for a month or just get that time to really reconnect, right? Get the time, you know, married, I don't have any kids, but get the time to do extensive trips with my wife, you know, and be there and so forth. Yeah. Right? Now we both work from home, so we get to see each other a lot more. So that was really the thing, right? I wanted to regain my time, my freedom, my connection with family and friends and the community, right? That was the reason for it all. And I'm happy to report, like in early 2022, I went to Europe for a month, right?
That's awesome. That.
And here in February, I mean, I'm
you made sorry, it. What's that? I said you made it. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Good for you. That's great.
Here in February of 23, I'm going on a ski trip, and then my wife and I are going to New Zealand for a couple of weeks, right? So we're creating that life that we want for ourselves. And I think that's awesome. Just an important part of it.
Yep. And as long as you asset manage well, then you can step away from your properties, right? Because they'll keep running smoothly. Right?
Now I'm hiring somebody to do my work.
Oh, good. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah, really good stuff. I appreciate that. I mean, patience is so important. And family is so important. If you're patient and you do the right things and you asset manage well, then you can really have some great time away with the family and take them on to Europe. That's awesome. It kind of brings it full circle. Well, Jens, I know you're active on social media. I see you on LinkedIn and Facebook. Is that the best place for people to find you, Jens, just by your name? Check in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of old school. So if anybody can send me an email at my email, Jens, J-E-N-S, at opendoors@scapital.com. So Jens at opendoorscapital.com.
Perfect. Okay.
And if anybody wants to get on a call to talk about any of the stuff we've done, they can go to opendoorscapital.com/call and get on a free call with me.
Awesome. Perfect. We'll put all that in the show notes. That's good stuff. Well, great. Thanks again, Jens. I'm a firm believer in asset management, how important it is. So it's really great to sit down with you today and learn more, learn from your experiences, maybe some of your mishaps and what you've learned along the way, because it's so important. So thanks for sharing with us today. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, Lee. It was a wonderful time. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for another great episode. I hope you'll take action on what you've learned today. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving Lee a 5-star rating and review. And check him out on threefoldrei.com. Until next time, 1 Timothy 6:17.